Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our backpack again, which makes no sense to you because this is the first time you've heard us, but at some point in the future, we'll go into the past and we'll discuss our first backpack time travel movie. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is
Time Pop.
How are you, Ari?
I'm great. I'm doing great. I'm excited about this movie.
We are doing See You Yesterday.
On Netflix.
On Netflix, yes. A Spike Lee joint, not directed by, which I kind of watched the whole thing thinking he directed it, just kind of a poor assumption on my part.
But he produced it.
He did produce it. And I guess that'll just lead us right into the fact portion of this podcast, which I'm going to jump on. The facts of this show are directed by Stefan Bristol, starring Eden Duncan Smith, who hasn't done a lot. She was in Annie, the new version of Annie. Dante Critchlow, I won't go through too many. The one that stood out the most IMDb is Marcia Stephanie Blake as CJ and Calvin's mom. She's been in a whole lot of stuff. She's in Orange is the New Black, and I probably know her from Blacklist, which is one of my guilty pleasures. I did not recognize her right away. But yeah, the director, Stefan Bristol. So this was actually based on a short that he did in college.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, and Spike Lee ended up being one of his professors at that school. And so he got to talk to Spike Lee a little bit while he made this. And it was kind of interesting. He showed Spike Lee some of his earlier shorts, and Spike Lee pretty much just panned him. Just said they're not good, they're not. And I don't know so much that he panned them not good as they just seemed to be something that had been done already. And that's when this director kind of realized that he wasn't making the movies he wanted to make. He was making the movies that he thought people wanted to see or that people like Spike Lee might like. And having Spike Lee himself say, you're not quite there yet. You need to explore what you actually want to do and put some real heart into this. It sent Stefan Bristol kind of back to the drawing board. And he drew on his favorite movies are Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
Back to the Future Part 2.
Not surprised.
And Jurassic Park.
Really?
Yes.
Jurassic Park. Okay.
Yes. He even in the article I read after Jurassic Park, he said, don't judge me.
Awesome.
But I love it. After reading this right now, I didn't think about it when I wrote it, but he specifically says Back to the Future Part 2.
Okay.
Which I love.
Yeah.
I like, obviously, Back to the Future is a great movie. You know, it started the whole franchise. It started my love of time travel movies. But Back to the Future Part 2 is the one I really, really love because that's when they really started to go all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, Back to the Future 1 and 3 are really period pieces.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I like all the science behind time travel, which Part 2 really gets into.
So it sounds like our director of this is also a fan of the science behind it and the actual traveling a lot in time travel movies, which this movie does. Well, spoiler alert. All of our podcasts are spoiler alerts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hopefully you heard at the top our spoiler alert. We'll tell you again, if you haven't seen this movie and you're afraid of it getting spoiled, stop now. Watch it. We'll do our best not to spoil too many movies around it. Like, I think as we go through this podcast, if we know we've discussed the movie on a podcast, we'll ruin the crap out of it. You know, but beware. We're going to have to, in order to have some of these discussions, we're going to have to touch on other time travel movies, which are going to definitely dip into spoiler territory. So...
cool.
We're in the future, so if you haven't seen these movies in the past, that's your problem, not mine. All right, so those are the facts of the situation. Ari,
yeah.
tell us about the movie itself.
All right, so we're doing Ari's overview.
Yes.
So the one thing I loved about this movie right off the bat is it's released now, which I guess it depends on when you see this, but when this movie was released, it's May of 2019.
Yes.
We're in May of 2019. The movie takes place the end of June 2019, which I don't know if I've ever seen before in movies. I guess, I mean, they, you know, futurist movies, they take place in the future. But anyway, I thought that was kind of fun where it takes place just a couple months in the future of when this was released. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, part of me, I was wondering if the idea was to release it on that day and Netflix got a little, so this is ready to go. Let's do it.
Cool. Okay, so this movie is about two very intelligent high school students. I'm guessing that they're in 11th grade. It's either 10th or 11th grade. And they have been working for the past year on time displacement. They have basically invented time travel. They call it time relocation, and they are trying to show off their new time machines to a end of the year showcase expo to get grants to go to college, and they make it work. Their time travel machine works, and high school kids being high school kids, they go into the past and they mess things up to the point where the main character, whose name is CJ, her brother gets killed. And this movie does a really good job of showing African-American culture in New York and all the struggles that they go through, and he gets shot by police, and she wants to go back and fix it. So they go back and they want to fix it. And I almost don't want to give everything away. I feel like we should talk about it.
Oh, no. Go ahead and just go A to Z, and then we'll come back in the middle.
Okay. So they go back and they try to fix it, but instead of fixing it, they make things worse because her friend, her partner in crime, who has been helping her through all this thing, whose name is Sebastian, he ends up getting shot. So the brother ends up getting saved, but the best friend ends up getting shot. And so then she has to go back and fix it again. She does. She fixes it. But, I mean, it's more complicated than this. She gets her brother involved, she gets another friend involved, and they end up saving Sebastian, but the brother realizes what's going on and has to sacrifice himself. So in the end, he still ends up getting shot. And for as much as I absolutely loved this movie, I did not like the ending. Come on, you guys. It's so good. And then she's like, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm going to go back and save both my brother and my best friend. Here I go. And movie ends.
I was absolutely with you until I did some reading this afternoon. And he at least had a reason for ending it the way he did. It's not one of those situations where he ran out of ideas or he didn't know how to end it or he's definitely banking on a sequel, something like that. So yeah, we'll just stay here at the end. So the director didn't want to give the impression that he fixed.
Do we want to get this into like that?
Not too much. I'm going to get into it just a little bit because the director did. Okay, and it has to do with the ending.
Okay.
So yeah. So the ending of this movie, the director. So Stefan Bristol, in a interview that he did, he didn't want his movie to seem like it fixed the social commentary that he's commenting on. And for them to just go back and fix it would be to give you the all's well that ends well idea that, oh, I guess everything's okay if you can just go back and fix it. But we're at a time right now where, you know, we can't fix the reality of our situation that our society's in right now. And so even in a science fiction movie, to fix it would be to do a disservice to the reality that we're living in.
So that's why he left the ending of this movie open-ended with her running.
Well, at least with the idea that it didn't get fixed. Like someone was gonna die. That's the one thing that you kind of come to a conclusion with at the end. It's someone's gonna die. And it's probably gonna be through crime or police officers. Like Sebastian wasn't just going to die because he slipped and fell. Like the movie definitely paints a picture where, you know, it's going to be a robbery. It's going to be the police.
Well, my question is, would all of this had happened? Would all of this have happened if they didn't go back to that store and throw the slushies on her ex? Would all of this still have happened?
I think so. Because, yeah, well, during your overview, I was thinking, I wasn't sure if you meant to say it like their time traveling is what caused the initial incident.
That's how I perceive it. So they travel back the first time. The first time they attempt it, it doesn't work. Their backpacks explode. And at one point, I want to talk about the science of this, because within literally the first 2 minutes of the movie, they unload all of this quote-unquote science, which I kind of want to unfold. I try to write it down word for word.
In this canister, there is a solution of protons. The canister is attached to a rotor circuit that generates the protons to the speed of light, which will then create a quantum foam and open up a wormhole.
Once the wormhole opens, the protons and the energy generated will break down our molecular structure so we can pass through the wormhole, so we can get to our time destination with our molecular structure fully reconstructed.
So their first successful attempt to travel one day into the past, they get really excited, right? They talk about, well, we're not gonna change anything.
Since we're touched on it already, let's talk about how time travel works in this universe.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, they unload all this science. They cram all the science into a backpack. They each have their own backpack. It's not like another movie we have discussed in the past that you'll hear in the future, where one backpack can bring a lot of people back. Their version is... I didn't realize it until close to the end that their cell phone actually is part of the device. I thought their cell phone was on their wrist just to give them, mostly for the 10-minute timing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized kind of later that that's part of the device. Like, they're setting their phone.
I took it as the backpack is the device, and this movie very smartly has them explaining the backpack. Like, she unzips the backpack and is explaining all the pieces, but the way you see it is through the security footage. So it's black and white, and it's a little bit grainy, which makes it seem like it's... First of all, first question is, how do they tap into the security camera in this alleyway, and how do they have sound? You're my sound man. Do basic security cameras have sound microphones? I'm just getting into the holes already. So anyway, first
of all, they're tapped in with their phone. He's using his phone to tap into the video, so he could be using the mic on his phone. So that's... I never even thought about that until right now. I think he's tapping in the security camera because these guys are geniuses. Like, they're building time travel. So
very
tapping into
kids.
A security camera is like elementary to them. But they must be recording it on their phone, where then that's where they're getting their audio picked up from. Like, there's definitely, our POV at that moment is suspect as to where all the sound, all the video is coming from.
But I liked that as a style, that they're showing you through the security camera. So it's black and white. It's a little bit grainy as she's like explaining all the different aspects of the backpack time travel machine. So you can't see it quite clearly. So the science gets to be a little bit, hazy.
Yeah.
But they do. In the first minute of this movie, they unload all this scientific, quote unquote science
Their temporal displacement. Temporal relocation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do zoom in later on the backpack a little bit. So their first attempt doesn't work. They go back to the drawing board. They make it work. Basically, that whole first day is just to set up. It didn't really occur to me until later that that's a very standard time travel situation, is to kind of take you through a boring day. So that they can come back to that
and redo
you
it.
Know where your place in that day is.
It also establishes the characters. It also establishes, when something happens, the motivation behind, you've established the family.
Yeah, yeah.
How close they are. Can I just say, though, in school, it's the last day of school before summer, a beautiful little,
homage
to Back to the Future. The teacher of the class is Michael J. Fox.
So great.
Yes, he's
so great.
He's hiding behind a book, and then he lowers the book, and there he is. He's their teacher, and he's talking to them after class about showing off to the expo, and she says, we're doing time travel. And at the end, he goes, time travel? Great, Scott. And I literally just started applauding, clapping.
Yeah,
I was
and
just
he,
so happy.
It's kind of interesting because he, I guess they submitted this time travel idea to him as their final. And he gave them a B-ish grade on it. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting because he said, it doesn't matter how solid your science is, like, what you're doing is crazy. And I can't give you an A on this just because it's a bad idea. The social implications of time travel are not to be messed with, and therefore I'm gonna grade you on the reality of this device, not the science behind it. Okay. And he looked real quick before we get off. He looked great.
He did. I felt great for him.
And I'm glad they didn't. For a minute, I was like, I thought we were going to see maybe too much of him. I don't know why. Like, you don't. It's a perfect cameo. I loved it. So.
Okay, we've been jumping around. Let's get back to what
So we're back to this. So they get the backpack going. Did you want to add anything to the science, or can I move into this? It works.
So, well, just within the first 2 minutes, they talk about how their time machine is supposed to work. So they have protons in one vial, liquid. It's a liquid in liquid form. There's bubbles. And that is supposed to, there's a machine that puts the protons and makes them into the speed of time. She says quantum foam, which opens a wormhole. It was fun. I'm not a scientist, but I have a feeling that none of what they are saying is actually scientifically, you know, true, theoretically, because time travel is theoretical. But they talked about protons breaking down their molecular structure so that they can pass through this wormhole.
And they made it sound like, for a minute, I thought a wormhole was going to open and they were going to step into it. Mm-hmm. They seem to get sucked into it. Mm-hmm. Like, once this happens, they're just gone.
Yeah. And in the beginning, they only have enough power for them to travel back one day, 24 hours.
So they can go back 24 hours. And I'm assuming that's it. They can't go back 8 hours. Like, it seems like the device is amped up to its highest level. It's 24 hours. And that, like, did you get the idea that if they wanted to go back 8 hours, they could?
No.
Okay. So they go back one day. I don't want to get too far. They fuck up immediately.
I was so disappointed because these kids are so smart.
They're so smart.
And then they turn into like their actual age, which is probably like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And they start just being silly and running into people and asking them what time it is. And there's a scene before the jump where her ex-boyfriend, they meet up with him in a shop.
Bodega.
Yeah, in a little shop. And they get into a little fight and they immediately go back to that time and she wants to throw a slushie in his face.
They go right to where they knew they were. 24 hours before.
Yeah.
They go straight.
And they happen to throw a slush. And she even says, like, this isn't a major time change. This is just a minor thing. And they immediately throw a slushie in his face moments before.
She knows she's going to be there.
The original her of that day walks through the door.
That was, I mean, I guess they're kids and you just, excitement took over. So now they can go back 24 hours for 10 minutes. And did you get the sense that they had any control over that 10 minutes? Or it's just that when that time's up, they're going to get sucked back to where they started from.
So the wormhole is only open for 10 minutes, and it seemed like they had no control over that.
Okay. So now, did you have anything to add about that first bodega visit with the slushy toss?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely silly, but I understand for, you know, a story value, you need to have some sort of conflict. So they do that. I think that because of that, it set into motion all the other things happening because she threw a slushie. Not only did she throw a slushie in his face, they went around the back and did it again.
And was he the one that ended up at the block party?
So then they chased after him and the ex-boyfriend gets hit by a car and breaks his arm.
No, that's later.
That's the same slushy day.
Is that slushy day?
That's right. So what happens is inside the store, they throw the slushy, right? And then the alpha, we'll call him alpha.
Yeah.
The original people of that day walk in and they get into a fight. In front of the store, her brother walks up, which is originally what happened in the first time around.
Yes.
So they get into a fight with the brother. The brother is defending the little sister. There's been slushy thrown. You know, they're all puffed up chests like they're going to fight. And then they're leaving. But then they go around the back and they throw the slushy in the face again, which makes them chase after her, and then he gets hit by a car and breaks his arm. And then later on, it's 4th of July, and the brother and the guy get into a fight at a party. The brother leaves, and then that's when the brother gets shot by a cop.
So I didn't think about this at all while I was watching it. Like, the whole what's happened has always happened. So I didn't even think about it in the original timeline. So the brother at the party, who does he get confronted by at the party?
So the brother at the party gets confronted by the ex.
He does. It is the ex. Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I didn't. put that together?
So, you know, it seems like they have beef, I guess, as you would call
it. So does he, in the original timeline, does he have a cast?
So that's never happened before.
Okay. Because we're getting into the whole what's happened has always happened, will always happen.
Yeah, but is that the case with this story?
If he's not wearing a cast in that first scene, then no. But I don't...
We don't see the 4th of July scene twice.
Yeah, we do.
Not the original. So we see...
Not the original. Or when we see it for the second time.
So we see the... We see the shop. What do they call it? It's called a bodega.
Yeah.
Why have I never heard that before?
I don't know. I say it a lot too. I get a lot of crap because it's more of an East Coast thing.
Is it? Okay.
But I still call all these liquor stores on San Pablo bodegas.
Okay, so it's like a liquor store or a corner store.
It's a little more than a. I mean, even these days, a 7-Eleven would be a bodega.
So it's like a 7-Eleven.
It's like a mini, yeah, it's a mini grocery store. Okay. You can get pot and milk at a bodega.
Okay, so I'm just going to call it the store. The store scene we see twice. So we see it originally, and then we see it when they travel one day in the past. They travel one day in the past. The guy breaks, the ex breaks his arm. That's fine. And then a few days later on July 4th mm-hmm. is where the brother and the ex get into a fight and the brother gets shot. It's been less than a week. The brother is now dead. CJ, our main character, is so upset that she wants to boost the power to her pack, her mm-hmm. time travel device, to be able to go back 1 week.
At one point, someone makes a comment that they will only have 10 minutes to recharge their packs and then go back another 24 hours.
No, he said it takes a whole day to recharge the packs.
Okay, I definitely missed that then, when they boosted, because I know she boosted it later when she had to go back and fix the fix. But I thought Sebastian made a comment that they can only go back 24 hours and they've only got 10 minutes.
The wormhole is only open for 10 minutes.
Right. But I thought they could only go back 24 hours at a time that first time.
They can. They can. And then the brother gets shot. The brother.
But they have to go back 4 days. So that means they had to travel 4 times.
No. She sits down at her desk and she starts doing calculations.
Yeah.
And she figures out a way to give it more power.
So, well, at least they didn't mess it up. I kind of would have liked it had they had to hop 24 hours at a time. That would have been kind of an interesting thing. Okay, so I missed that. So they go back. So on July 8th, they go back to July 4th.
So do you remember the scene where they're in the cemetery at her brother's grave?
Yes.
Okay, so that's when she shows him the plans and she says, I've changed the spin of electrons. And he says, then they will become positrons. And that means if you combine those together, it's pure antimatter colliding with matter, making it pure energy. So she has figured out a way to boost the power to be able to jump further than 24 hours. So she says it's enough energy to power the machine to 2 times the speed of light, and we can go back a week and we can go back to save her brother, which is some more science, which I very strongly don't believe is true, because I mean, I'll still theoretical, if you were to combine matter with antimatter, there's theories that like the whole universe explodes or something.
Yeah,
like
it would probably, yeah, it could swallow all of us into a wormhole.
Yeah, which is a fun thing to think about. I mean, not all of us dying, but if what could happen if you combine antimatter and matter?
Great Scott. So they go back a week.
They go back 4 days. They end up
4 days. That's right. They go back 4 days.
So she says they have ability to go back a week, but they only go back four days.
So they can control.
Which makes you think they can control it now. Why couldn't they control it before? But anyway.
Well, before they just went the max time. The max time was 24 hours. Yeah. They just went for the. So they probably could have gone back 8 hours, but.
So
why
they
bother?
Go back, and their plan is to run to where the brother is about to get shot and try to warn him to get him to come away from that before the cops show up. Now, here's my biggest hole of this whole freaking movie. Their time machines are on backpacks. Right?
Yes.
Every time they do their traveling, they're in this one alleyway where the security camera is, which is right outside their garage warehouse. Why does it have to be in that alleyway? If their time machines are on backpacks, they're totally portable. Why can't they walk to where the brother is about to get shot, travel there, be right there when it's about to happen to stop the whole thing? They don't. They have to travel, or they travel in this alleyway, and then they have to run across the town to get there. They run into some people who kind of like, they run into the ex who tries to start some stuff, mm-hmm. and then they don't make it in time. The 10 minutes is up, it's about to close, and they have to run back to where the portal was. So their first attempt to save him doesn't work.
That's right. Because I keep forgetting that they run back to the alley every time they want to come home yeah. as well.
So the one thing that this movie does, which I very much greatly appreciate, is they only travel in time and not space. So wherever they are in space is where they end up. That I really appreciate. But couldn't they have just walked closer to where they needed to be and then traveled in that location? They didn't. So there's your hole.
There's the big hole.
There's a lot of other holes in this movie.
Yeah.
For example, they talk about the portal, the wormhole being open for 10 minutes. So what they're saying is they've created this wormhole, they've gone through it, and the wormhole is there. It is in that specific location for 10 minutes, and then it's going to close. Now, we don't see it. This is an invisible wormhole, okay? Now, I don't know much about actual wormholes, but I'm assuming if one existed, you would be able to see it. And also, technically, wormholes are black holes and would have a massive amount of gravity. We're getting into holes.
Is
here.
That why they had to run back to the alley? Because it was the wormhole, but it was on their back.
So the machine created the wormhole in that location, and it was able to be open for 10 minutes. Now, again, this is the laws that this story has created in order to tell their story. So in this story, in their universe, the laws are this backpack machine opens a wormhole in this specific location, and it's open for 10 minutes. And if it closes, I'm assuming they can't get back. We never had to worry about that because they always got back in time.
It's so weird, the arbitrary, because obviously you have to have rules to make a time travel movie, but it's weird the rules they set that contradict their own. Like, you can do anything you want, so why not just have the backpack create a wormhole wherever you are and like recreate, like, because it would have been interesting too to just have after 10 minutes wherever you are you just get sucked back, and that could have been another interesting thing. Because, I mean, that's the thing. With 10 minutes, if you have to run somewhere and run back, 10 minutes isn't enough time to even do anything that they put forth in the movie. Like, just make it 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you have time to run across town and then run back to the alley. Or make it so that wherever you are, the backpack just recreates the black hole there to suck you back.
So there, for as much as I really did enjoy this movie, except for the ending, there are a lot of holes, but that gives us more things to talk about. For example, this wormhole that they create in a very specific location, she jumps one time inside their garage. She jumps one time where she starts outside of the garage but ends up inside the garage. Yeah, so they kind of play around with the location of where they can start and stop or enter and exit this wormhole.
So now they go back in time. They throw a slushie on the ex-boyfriend. That gets the ex-boyfriend all mad. That sets forth what happens that makes her brother leave the party, that then gets shot by the cop. They then go back to try to fix it. That's when Sebastian dies.
Right.
Now she wants to go back and fix that. And she somehow creates something so powerful that it negates her past time travel self.
Yes. And the way that they explain this is there's a friend that they have, the Puerto Rican friend.
What was his name?
Eduardo.
I liked Eduardo. He grew on me.
Yeah, Eduardo is great. So Eduardo is also a very smart student and has created for his science project that he is going to present at the end of the year is a circuit board. Let me find exactly what they called it. I need to start taking better notes where that I can read them. Do you ever do that where you can't read your own handwriting because you wrote it so fast?
Absolutely, yeah. I know it's kind of a tough thing between taking better notes and just enjoying the movie.
Yeah.
Which even just enjoying the movie can make you soak it more in. This movie really I felt like this movie was much more straightforward until now. Now I felt like, oh, I get it. And now that we're talking, I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah, this movie was complicated.
It really was.
There's a lot of science, pseudoscience. Is that the right word? Pseudo fake science, which makes it interesting. And when we're trying to actually break down that science and talk about it, there's a lot to it. So their friend Eduardo has a circuit board that he calls an energy conduit. And so when she travels back and her friend Sebastian gets shot, her brother actually is alive. So she technically saved her brother, but her best friend gets shot. And all right, so she needs help in figuring out how to save her friend. So she brings in Eduardo. And Eduardo, with his circuit board, boosts the power of this device. And what he does... So at one point, the way that they want to try and fix it... Okay, hang on. Let me read through my notes here.
A time splice that resets the moment in time. Is that... Well, because I think the first time they go back, I think they talk about... Or the second time they go back, they talk about a virtual reset of our first selves. And then when Eduardo gets involved, the time splice resets that moment in time.
Okay, just kidding. We skipped a step. So the first time they went back, they didn't make it in time. They have to do it again. And the second time, their idea is to, instead of running to where the brother is, they're going to stop the robbery. They try to go stop the robbery.
That's right.
That is when the friend gets shot. So the way that they think they're going to stop the robbery is, as soon as they jump, she calls the cops to call in the robbery. So they jump, she calls it in, and then they go to the store where it happens, and they notice the cops aren't there. The robbery is about to happen. So she decides to go in to try to stop the robbery herself. Sebastian stays outside. She goes in the store. Just as she's about to go in the store, the Sebastian of that time sees her go in and goes in after her. They try to stop the robbery. He gets shot. As he's getting shot, he's on the sidewalk dying, and her Sebastian that she jumped with starts to flicker.
Yes.
He spits up blood, and then he disappears. That was a cool effect.
Leaving his backpack.
Yeah, his backpack just... He disappears, his backpack just falls to the ground.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a cool effect.
So that's right. That's why they reset themselves, because had they not reset that first jump, there would have been three of them at that bodega.
Right. So
they boost the power in a way where their slushy tossing selves aren't there.
It's a different time, because this is the time of the robbery, not the slushy throwing. Same place, same location, but different time.
Oh, that's right. That's 4 days. The slushy was on the 28th.
Yeah. This is on the 4th.
This is on the 4th.
So best friend is dead. She goes back. She doesn't know what to do. Her brother is now alive, so she brings him into the mix, and she explains everything to him.
She doesn't explain anything to him.
She doesn't. She brings him in.
He gets it way too quickly.
Yeah.
That was one of my... I mean,
he's
one of
smart
my,
as well. There's
one of my big holes is like, he just like looked at her and just like, you time traveled, didn't you? Well,
she showed him the footage on the...
After that, though, I think he's... No, he found the
funeral pamphlet.
The funeral pamphlet, and just knew immediately what was going on.
Yeah,
and she obviously explains it to him in greater detail, but he finds the pamphlet and is just, how's this time travel thing working out for you?
Well, she also shows him a video.
After that, then she comes clean and tells him.
So then they get Eduardo involved and Eduardo's circuit board to boost the power of the backpacks. And what he explains is the splicing, and I think I wrote it down. It's going to create an individual time splice for CJ. So they're going to attune the frequency of her backpack to the backpack of the one she wants to splice into, which is the second model. So
the other one that has Eduardo's circuit board in it.
So the third version of the backpack has Eduardo's circuit board in it.
But the second one does too. Because Sebastian and CJ in a previous timeline have already talked to Eduardo, talked him out of his circuit board and used it.
Correct.
And so now they got to recreate that now with CJ and her brother to get the circuit board. So it's the same circuit board tying into itself.
Correct.
Yes.
So I guess in the third version, Eduardo has just tweaked it even more to be able to do this time splice.
Yes.
So they're
That's right. She takes over her previous timeline.
So essentially what they're doing is they're tuning in to the frequency of the second version of the backpack, and she's just going to take over. She did that jump that they do, that her and Sebastian do before Sebastian gets killed, she's just going to override it. So she, that second version of her just is gone. Who knows what happens to her? And so the way that they do that is this jump, the jump they do where the in the original when Sebastian gets shot, Sebastian shows up first, and about 10 seconds later, then she jumps in.
Yes.
And she's wearing different clothes, and he kind of notices for a second, but then, you know, they're on the clock. They
She immediately takes off for the new plan. She's got a new plan that he doesn't know about. Because now she's going to go... Oh, sorry. Now they're going to go stop the robbery.
No, now they're going to go back to the brother. So before
now they're going straight to the brother. That's right. That's
before this jump, the brother was like, okay, he's in on everything now, right? And he knows that CJ is trying to save Sebastian. So he's like, you know, do what you got to do. The brother gives CJ the funeral pamphlet of himself, his own funeral pamphlet. And he gives her the dog tags and says, do what you got to do to convince me. So when they jump in the splice jump, they run directly to the brother, and which is not what the plan was in Sebastian's thought, because they're redoing this day, and they try to convince the brother. They get there in time this time, and they try to convince the brother. The cops show up. The same things happen. The cops tell them, let me see some ID. They're, you know, basically things are said, guns are drawn.
Oh, that's right. He says, Sebastian says, the guys who robbed the bodega went that way. And the cops say, I didn't say anything about the bodega. So obviously you guys are them because you brought it up first.
Exactly. So guns are drawn. They get him down on the ground. They get Sebastian down on the ground.
They're really attacking Sebastian because he mentioned the bodega.
Yeah.
So the cops are really up his ass.
And the brother is lying on the ground with the funeral pamphlet right by his head. And the funeral pamphlet, that's hard to say, is showing the picture of the brother. And then as this is happening, it's all in slow motion. It's very dramatic. As it's happening, the cop has got like his knee on Sebastian's back. And you see the picture on the pamphlet change to Sebastian's face. Mm-hmm. And the brother kind of finally realizes that what his sister has been trying to tell him, she's been trying to say, you got to leave, you're going to die. Look, I have your dog tags. And the brother's like, what? You know, you guys saw the movie. You were there. So then I guess the brother kind of realizes that if he doesn't do something, Sebastian is going to die because his face is what appears on the pamphlet. So he stands up, takes his phone out of his pocket, and gets shot.
And this is where you kind of realize in the movie that you can't fix time. You can alter it, but at this point, the movie's kind of trying to tell you someone's going to die. And
so it's the theory that no matter what you do, the end result will always be the same?
Not the same, but similar. You're going to lose someone you love, and you can keep going back and keep trading which one of your loved ones is going to die. So then the movie ends on...
So then the brother's dead.
Then the brother's dead.
But Sebastian is alive.
And you think there's 10 minutes left of the movie now. She's distraught. She's going to figure this out. And then I was really surprised because I was like, there's no way this movie has 9 minutes worth of credits.
Right.
And it ends with her strapping on the backpack and just running to... She's going to fix this somehow, some way.
Yeah. So they get back after the brother is shot, and Sebastian says, how many times have you jumped?
Yeah.
He figures out because she's wearing different clothes, and he says, why didn't you stick to the plan of going to the bodega, the store? And she says, because you died, and I had to go back and try and fix it. So then Sebastian essentially says, I'm done. I'm out. This isn't worth it. And she's,
we're done.
Yeah, we're done. I'm done with
you
this.
You think that, he's convinced her that none of this is worth it. Let's just cut our losses,
so
even if it's your brother.
She essentially says, okay, he leaves the garage. She closes the garage, locks him out, puts the backpack on, and jumps. She jumps inside the garage. Mm-hmm. And then the movie ends with her running. And you don't know how it ends.
Yeah.
It's up to your own imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where the social commentary takes over the science aspect of it. I guess that's the bummer of the ending, is that to create, to make a sequel, which this movie could do.
I hope they do.
I hope they don't.
Really?
Because of the social commentary he was trying to make on it. Like, I don't think you can step on what he was trying to say about society. And I think by making a sequel where either A, she fixes it, which I don't think he wants to take responsibility for fixing our society.
So I guess I took it as CJ, the main character, felt responsible for all this. So I'm questioning right now, did her actions of throwing the slushy start all this? Is she thinking that if I went back and stopped myself from throwing that slushy, could all of this been fixed? Or would the brother have been shot on July 4th no matter what?
Well, and that's where the system's broken. And the fact that she got tied up in the system is secondary to our broken society. I can't believe we're getting into this. But...
yeah, I guess I just took it as, and I could be completely wrong about this, and we'll never know because the way the movie was told, I took it as because of what she did, it caused all these things to happen.
Well, and that's where I think the only way to make a sequel, the sequel would have to end, well, no, I was going to say the sequel would have to end with her destroying the time machine. Mm-hmm. But that would, you know, to tell a time travel movie, you need someone with the hubris that they can fix it. If they're smart enough to create time travel, they're smart enough to do it right.
Yeah. I like time travel movies where there is major consequences to traveling.
Yeah.
So I like movies where if you travel, it's, you know, you're upsetting the natural course of the universe. Something has to give. There has to be consequences.
Yeah.
And I guess I took it as because they traveled, they upset the time-space continuum and, you know...
Yeah, and especially if you're creating a wormhole, a black hole, which means you're creating a void in our universe, and that void has to be filled.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of how I think of time travel is, you know, you're upsetting something. So in order for time itself to create balance, there has to be consequences. There has to be collateral.
Do you know what I realized recently? What movie I want to see?
What?
Time travel only gets... crappy for Doc Brown when Marty gets involved. I want to see the 10 years where Doc Brown... Sorry, I'm getting in... Spoiler alert, Back to the Future. I want to see... Okay, that'll shrink it down to a tellable story. I want to see the movie where Doc Brown goes to the future and converts the time machine into a flying machine. Just that good time story where he's like, I realize that around Back to the Future, there's plenty of time travel going on where everything's fine. And we just see the three stories where it's not fine. But there are there are Doc Brown tales where he's just traveling around time. No big deal.
Yeah.
Experiencing stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was
and then Marty comes and screws it all up.
Then the kid, the damn kids always come screw it up. Holy mackerel. So yeah, I guess I'll be watching this movie again.
Okay.
Like I said, I thought it was an interesting story. I thought it was a good story. And what an amazing conversation to just, I thought, yeah, I did not recognize all the holes.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes.
Until we talked about it. It's pretty gnarly.
When you have a story where you have to put in a lot of your own made up science, there are going to be holes.
So really quickly, you have this device as it's the first, we'll just say the first version of time travel as it is in the movie. Do you use it? How would you use it? You can go back 24 hours for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I absolutely use it, but I would not do anything as stupid as what they did. They instantly start running into people and talking and then throwing a slushy. And I understand you need conflict to tell a story, but like, yes, I would use it, but I think I would just walk around and not talk to anyone and not touch anything.
Maybe find a stock that that went did a
for
big
one day.
Big 24-hour spike.
Well, that would be changing. If you did that would be changing something. I honestly,
that's
my
true.
Very first attempt, I would not change anything. And you know, human nature, the first attempt, maybe you don't change anything, and then you get back and everything's fine. You're like, okay, let me go back again and see what I can, like, you put something out that would just, that one little piece of fruit or some little thing.
Like a bite out of an apple.
Yeah, just to see, because human nature, we want to push the boundaries. You want to test the limits a little bit.
Because even if you mess, I mean, you're dealing with your life. Because even if you go back and just screw up your timeline enough to where you don't end up, like, let's say you use the time machine on Tuesday to go back to Monday, but then you cause enough disruption in your life that then on Tuesday you don't use it. You decide you're going to wait until Wednesday. Like, even just that.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Yeah. They did a good job of talking at one point about, well, we can't use it right now because we just used it in the same time 24 hours ago. We're going to run into ourselves because they only use it in the same location. And that's at one point. Remember
They talk about that?
Yeah, they talked. Remember, that's the one point I was like, there's one point where I'm confused about. They did something to negate that, to fix that. I don't remember exactly what they did, but, you know, the Sebastian said, well, we can't use it right now because we just used it to go back, that we'd be going back to the same time, right? He got shot at a very specific day at a very specific time, so if we go back, we're gonna run into ourselves.
That's right.
And they did something to fix that, and
that was the splice.
That was the first splice.
Well, both splices kind of, because the first splice, dun, dun, dun.
They don't want to jump back to themselves, that they just jump, need something that can direct a lot of energy. So that's when they're like, we need more energy, and that's the first time when they get Eduardo's circuit board. But then they don't really explain how they're doing it. Just,
that's the virtual reset of our first selves.
Okay.
That's what they said. So yeah, so they
don't really explain it, they just say it.
Yeah, and I guess they jumped in. So maybe they did that twice. Maybe they just explained it twice, something happened the first time where they, but if they could have negated the, holy crap. We'll talk about that next week. we'll get all of this straight, and please chime in. What's your rating, Ari?
I liked this movie. I liked the style of it. I liked the story, the characters. It's different. I love that we have, you know, a minority student, kids, time traveling. I thought it was great. It was different. I did not like the ending, so I'm so torn on this. So I liked it, but I was so frustrated by it. I would highly recommend seeing it, especially if you're a big time travel fan. I guess I got to give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
Is that good or bad?
That's higher than I'm going to go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. As a movie, it's an 8. Like, it's just a act. These kids haven't been in anything.
No, it's great.
They were in the short.
Okay.
Like, that's where I don't know if they're friends. I mean, we're going to see a lot of them. We're going to see a lot more of these kids, that's for sure. Well, I guess the one was in Annie, so she's been around. But Sebastian hasn't done much. Yeah, I don't know why. Usually after these conversations, I want to boost it just because it's such an interesting conversation. But it's one of those things where I feel like, you know, when you're writing a script and you have control of the entire universe, you know, I know time travel is a hard thing to talk about, but still, there's simple little, like, he complicated the science to try to boost that aspect of the story. And
you think he complicated the science?
Yeah, because I think he could have simplified the science by moving them through space, with them being like, we can't jump in the alley because we already jumped in the alley. Now we have to go jump in a different alley, or now we can go jump closer to where my brother gets shot, or we don't have to come back to the exact place where we jumped the first time.
Well, that's the thing. That's the major hole of this movie, but also the thing that I appreciate the most about this movie is their machine only jumps in time and not in location, in space. A lot of time travel movies is like, okay, I'm going to time travel and I'm going to appear in France thousands of miles away whatever year.
But they can't jump to a different, they just go there before they jump. Like, they don't jump from here to there. They go there and then jump.
In this movie?
Yeah.
Exactly. They would have to do that.
Right.
But
so
they didn't.
Why didn't you? And then that,
yeah, that's
that
the
takes
whole.
Away this, because I feel like the splicing and the resetting was invented to make it more sciencey, but then it creates more holes.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly enough, you could have taken away some holes with some very simple spreading out in space.
Yeah, I would love to be able to go to the director or the writer, I don't know if they're the same person, and be like, hey, quick question, how come you didn't have them just walk closer to where the brother was shot and jump there? There's got to be a reason, whether or not it's because it would have made it a much shorter movie. Like, they would have stopped.
Or they could have done that simply by making the machine so big that they had to be near the garage. Like,
yeah.
Just make part of the machine garage that they can't carry
around.
Yeah,
like the energy source was tethered to something in the garage. They could have done that, but they didn't.
Because they could, it gets even more complicated if you want to get into the idea that there could possibly be three of the identical cell phones. So now that there's three identical cell phones in the same place, then would that make one of their machines not work? Because if they're using their cell phone to... I don't know. Yeah, so that's my complaint, is that I feel like and he did have it was written and directed by Stefan Bristol, and then Frederica Bailey was a co-writer.
Okay.
And I got a hunch she was a fellow student, and apparently she really helped to flesh out an actual story from this. I think he had a lot of big ideas, and it sounds like she might be the one that brought it together with dialogue. Yeah, so I don't want to knock it down too much, but I gotta come in under you.
No, yeah.
I'm gonna say a 6.5.
Okay.
I'm gonna say a 6.5, which I know is a little bit low, and I could bring that back up by watching it again and following some of the science.
Yeah, I watched it twice. I skipped through some of the slower parts on the second time because I wanted to get down all the scientific jargon, as they say. I did, one of my favorite parts is on their very first attempt to jump. You know, they're doing the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Yeah.
And then Sebastian says, energize.
That's right.
And she says, this isn't Star Trek. And he's like, shut up.
Yeah. He's like, I'm having fun.
I loved that.
Thank you all for listening to us try to piece this together. It was a lot harder than I thought. Next week, if you want to get ahead of us, we are going to watch The Time Machine. We're going to watch the newest Time Machine, 2002, just because it's the easiest one to find. Honestly, there's a 1960 and a 1978 version as well. We're going to watch a 2002 version. The 1960... I just don't feel like watching the 78, I think, was a made-for-TV movie. So that's a little bit harder to come by. So next week we'll do that. Please let us know what you thought about See You Yesterday. Please help us fill in some gaps with... I know most of you are smarter than I am. So bring some of that science. Please head on over to soundsawesome9216.com to see what else sounds awesome if you enjoyed this podcast. If you would like to add to this discussion, please... send me a message at timepop9216@gmail.com. That's timepop9216@gmail.com. And if you would like to start your own discussion on a social media platform, head on over to the favorite social media platform of your choice, at tpop9216. That is at tpop9216. Did I get it all?
Yeah.
All right. And thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Arielle Gala.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Oh, and we don't measure time by our concept of time. We measure
CJ.
By the...